Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your cooperation in that disaster relief offering as well. Revelation chapter 22 is where I'd like to point your attention. Thank you, musicians. Amen. Revelation 22, verses 10 and 12. Praise the Lord. Revelation 22, beginning to read there at verse number 10, 11, and 12. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Amen. This thought, how will I be found? Would you point your finger right at the middle of your chest? How will I be found? Amen. I hope to express this thought to you today. How will I, and I'm pointing at my own self here now, how will I be found? Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask, Lord, even together right now, that in the precious name of Jesus, I pray your will, Lord. Quicken me, I pray. Put words in my mouth and open our hearing. And Lord, let your will, Jesus, be accomplished. I pray your hand in it all. In the precious name of Jesus, Lord, your will be done. Thank you for it. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. How will I be found? I like in that verse number 12, behold, I come quickly. I am looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Amen. It is with high anticipation that I have read the book. I know that if you read the best part way in the back, Jesus has a promise that he is going to come again. Amen. And God always keeps his word. Amen. He's going to come quickly. His reward will be with him. Amen. What a great thought that is in my mind. Amen. And another thought, there is nothing, I don't think, on earth that is more interesting to me than the church. Someone say the church. The body of believers in Jesus Christ. The church, those that have made preparations according to the word, those that believe and live like they are serving him, the church. It is so interesting to me. The church is, I have friends in Wisconsin from when I was a child, and I believe that they are just as much as of the body, the church, as we are. I have friends in other areas of the country, and they may be far away, or it might be long intervals between when I see them or greet them, but they are a part of the church, and they are very dear to me. There's missionaries that have, maybe they came several years ago, but yet when I get their newsletters, I'm encouraged that God is moving in the church in a faraway land. It's amazing to me, the body of Christ, the church. Amen. You know, we are certainly on this mission together. We are in the effort of seeking and saving that which was lost. The reason why Jesus came is our reason to be the church. It is who we are. But when we say that we are saved, saved from what? What are you saved from? Peter preached in Acts chapter 2, verse number 40. And with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You know, if I could save you, it would already be done. If it was in my power, everybody would be saved. Nobody would be lost. But that's not in my power. I cannot do it for you. I would if I could. In fact, I highly advise you to be saved. I want you to enjoy the blessings of God. It's a great life. In fact, in our Elements class this morning, we had this little discussion of, you know, those that don't serve God and the chaos and turmoil and trouble that is in that life and the life that I live. Yeah, I got some little problems here and there, but overall, God has blessed me. God is good to me. I believe my life is blessed because I serve the Lord. Amen. What a difference. What a contrast before Christ and after. I have no desire to go back to that chaos. I don't want no piece of that. I want no part of that in my life. Amen. I want to go on to the reward that I find in the book. It is an awesome and wonderful thing. You see, this, if you think about what Acts 2 verse 40 says, this untoward generation, it means twisted, warped, perverse. I think our world has reached a new pinnacle, a new height of chaos. The world has never been as messed up as our world is. The world that I live in. The world that we are in right now. I think it is the most messed up world that our earth has ever seen. Every area of life is being corrupted. Is being perverted. You know, they are saying that the awful stuff, perverse things are good. And that the good things are bad. Man, this world is messed up. It's an untoward, somebody say that with me, untoward generation. It's talking about that in the Bible, in the book of Acts. It's an untoward generation. I want to be saved from this untoward generation. I don't want to get my thinking mixed up with the thinking of the world. I don't want my thinking to be primarily influenced by the world. I want my life to be in line with the Bible. I want my mind to be aligned with the Word of God. I want my life to be influenced by Jesus. We truly do live in an untoward, messed up, twisted, perverse generation. Wicked. And our world is just like that. Just like it says in the Bible. Also now, sometimes we spend so much time talking about lifestyle issues that we miss something. My focus is not to be on the twisted, messed up thinking of the world. That's not to be my focus. I don't want to focus on all the bad stuff. There's so much bad stuff, my mind would be scattered. I wouldn't be able to think clearly if I thought on all that messed up stuff. I can't try to figure out all that thinking. It doesn't make sense to me, and I don't want to study it. I choose not to study it. I do want to study the Word of God. I do want to study what Jesus says. I do want to be like Him. Amen. My focus can't be on living in this world because I'm going to be leaving this world. Amen. My preparations are to make myself ready. Save yourselves. I cannot save you. I'd love to. I want to. I'm going to try to. I want to do everything I can to help you live for God. But I cannot save you. it's a big enough problem trying to save me. That's my job. Yeah, I have to preach the truth, and I'm going to do the best I can. But I got to save myself from this untoward generation. Amen. I need to remind us this morning that of the simple fact that at the end of the day, being ready to meet the Lord at the end of our life is our focus. Amen. Do that again. Where will I be found? Here we go. I cannot save you. That's your job. You got to get yourself right with God. You got to get yourself in line with the Bible. Amen. If it would do any good, I'd get, you know, 4 or 5 strong big guys. We'd come back down there, get you and throw you in, and we'd make sure you go all the way under, and we'd say in Jesus' name. But, you know, that ain't going to do no good. You gotta want to repent. You gotta want to get your sins remitted, paid for by baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. You gotta want it, or you're not gonna do it. You gotta want, guess what? You gotta want Jesus in your life before God fills you with the Holy Ghost. God is not gonna surprise you with the Holy Ghost. You are gonna be wanting it, asking for it, and praying and worshiping God when He fills you with the Holy Ghost, or you will not be filled with the Holy Ghost. God's not going to surprise you. You got to want it. You got to want this living for God. And even when we are living for God, even in the church, this church, other churches, the churches that we're going to help, even in those churches, it is easy to get interested in earthly things. Our eyes are taken off of the greater issues when we really need to be focusing on Jesus and our relationship with Him. Above everything else, the most important thing in my life, the most important thing in your life, is that I, point at yourself, that I must be saved. Amen. It's an individual responsibility. Nobody can do it for you. It's up to you, and you and you alone get to choose who you will serve, how you will live, if you will obey. Amen. It's your choice to serve God or not. Amen. And when the time comes, however I am, is how I will stay. This is a scary thought. If I leave the parking lot and a cement truck runs over me, how I was underneath that cement truck is how I'm going to stay. If I ended up underneath that truck, saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and water baptized, if I end up dead and I'm in the Lord, to me it's gain. But if you're not ready, and that same thing happens, that is how you will stay for eternity. It's a scary thought. Unjust, filthy, righteous, holy. Whatever state you end up in is the state that you will stay in for eternity. That's a serious thought. It's a sobering thought. I want to ask you this morning, how would God have found you at the end of last week? Saturday, yesterday, you know, the end of our calendar week, Saturday. If you weren't able to be here today because your life ended yesterday, where would you have ended up? Thank God we have the opportunity today to be in church. Amen. Thank God that we have another opportunity today to worship the Lord. Amen. Would you have been found pleasing to Him or not? That's your... You make that assessment. You measure that thought in your own mind. I am thanking God that we have the opportunity today to change. Amen. Today to worship the Lord. Today I get to choose to worship God. Today I get the opportunity to go to church. Today I have the opportunity to obey the Word of God. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to serve the Lord. Right now is the time. Amen. I know we're having revival in a couple weeks, but right now is the time to make up your mind. Amen. Right now. Moses told the people of Israel way back then in the Old Testament, be sure your sins will find you out. Nobody gave me a sheriff's badge, and I'm not coming to inspect anybody. That's not what God called me to do. I'm not coming to your house and looking through your stuff. I'm not checking your phone, and I'm not, you know, listening in on your conversations. I'm not going to be peeking in your window. I'm not checking up on you. It's your God that already knows what's going on. He already knows. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 20. And Ahab, that wicked king, said to Elijah, the prophet of God, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? The king is telling the prophet, you're my enemy. Oh my goodness, that's a bad start right there. I'm not your enemy. Really, I'm not. I love you. I want you to be saved. I want you to love Jesus. And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Be sure your sins will find you out. There are no secret sins. You might think you're hiding them, but God already knows. God is not mocked. You will not fool God. And you're not hiding anything from God. God sees and knows everything. Amen. God knows the thoughts of your mind. Amen. There's also this principle. It's a biblical principle too. And it is also a natural principle. There's a law of sowing and reaping. The farmers have to put seed in the field in order to have a crop. Amen. You got to sow good seed to get good crops. Amen. You got to serve the Lord in order to be saved. Amen. You got to serve the Lord in order to please God. And I've seen some that have maybe to be kind, arrogant, or rebellious spirit. There are probably worse things you could say. But that's putting it nicely. There are some in our world that have an arrogant or rebellious spirit. Amen. And Lord forbid, but I've even seen it in people who call themselves Christians. Shouldn't be like that, but it sometimes is. Don't think for a moment that God is just going to look the other way or God doesn't care, or God didn't see, or God didn't mind. God records everything. Amen. Now, I'm comma. This is my own personal belief. I believe that our mind that was made by God is a master record of everything that has ever happened in your whole life. I'm talking from the time that you came out of your mother's womb until the time that you've taken your last breath 100 years later. That everything that has ever happened in your whole life is recorded by God in your mind. Now, I might have trouble working my mind and remembering all that stuff, but God has written down everything that has ever happened. Amen. And there is an answer to sin. The answer is to repent. Amen. Repentance is a marvelous gift from God. I could switch right here and go into repentance mode and preach the rest of the time I have on repentance. But repentance is a gift from God. Amen. God will forgive anyone. Everyone has this great gift of repentance. It's given unto them if they'll just take it, if they'll just do it, if they will repent. God is faithful and just to forgive those that repent. All the time, every time, everywhere, in every life, without exception. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be rebellious, especially in the house of God, especially in church. I want to be found as a worshiper of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to spend my life in serving the Lord. I want to use my time to magnify Him. I want my life to reflect His goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to be a worshiper in the household of God. Amen. When I come to church, it's my intention to worship the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace. How will you be found? Without spot and blameless. I want Jesus to find me worshiping Him, loving Him, faithful to Him. I want Jesus to find me worshiping God. I know there are many people going through trials in this life. Trials at home, and trials on the job, and trials in your finances, and trials in your flesh, and trials in your health, and the list could just go on and on and on. There's many areas of life that you may have a trial in. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Sometimes this world kind of draws on us. There's temptations in our world. There's temptations more in our world today because of the availability of electronic data, whether it be on your computer or your TV or your cell phone. It's with us. It's like connected to our society in every facet of life. Your car has got a computer in it now. Your pocket has got a computer in it now. Everything is connected electronically, and it's going to tempt you. It will. Verse number 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found. Someone say, might be found. How will God find you might be found unto praise. I hope God finds me praising Him. I hope God comes during church time. Amen. Even if it's not in church time, I hope I'm praising Him in the shower in the morning. I hope I'm praising Him when I lay my head down to sleep at night in bed. I want to praise Him when I wake up. I want to praise Him when I lay down. I want to praise Him at lunchtime. I want to praise Him during the day. I want to praise Him at the nighttime. I want to praise Him any time of day. I want to be found praising the Lord. Whether if I'm here in a crowd of people or if I'm all by myself. Some of my very best times of praise is in my truck all by myself. Woo! Nobody around, no one hearing me, nobody knowing what's going on. Somebody driving by. That guy must have a bee in his truck. You know what? I'm not trying to please them anyway. Praise the Lord. How do I want to be found? Well, I've already told you. I want to be found praising the Lord. I want to be found a true worshiper of God. In fact, it is my belief that everyone should be found praising the Lord. I believe this should be natural. This should be normal. I cannot be the only exception that God made. I'm sure there's other people here under the sound of my voice that want to praise the Lord. That you have a desire to praise the Lord. That you want to serve God. It's way down inside. It bubbles up and bubbles over. You want to praise the Lord. I'm convinced I'm not the only one. Psalm 150 verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! Praise is an outward activity. Amen. It's going to show when you're praising the Lord. We are told in Scripture to make a joyful noise. You know, clapping your hands, singing, shouting, etc. Use your imagination. But be happy when you're doing it. Praise the Lord with a joyful noise. Psalm 66, verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Psalm 98, verse number 4. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. It's in the Bible. That's what's supposed to be normal. To me, if you're not doing it, that's not normal. And hold on. There is reason we are told to have church like this. We are told to worship like this. There's a reason. Isaiah chapter 12, verse number 3. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. You want to know the reason? The reason is in the Bible. The reason why we do the stuff we do, it's in the Bible. The reason why I worship the way I do, it's in the Bible. It's the reason why I do what I do, I praise the Lord the way I do. The reason why my desire is what it is because it's in the Bible. You got no joy? You got no bucket? You got no bucket. You can't get it out. You got to let it out. You got to let it out. If you're thirsty, drink some Holy Ghost water. Amen. Worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you will have joy. I'm telling you, by the authority of the Word of God, by what the Bible says. I'm telling you, it's true. It's in the Bible. Worship the Lord. Give Him some high praise. I mean, do it out loud. Do it with your whole life. Worship the Lord. John chapter 4, verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. I'm telling you, we're directed by the Word of God to do this. Amen. If you're not doing it, you're not following the Word of God. It's what the Word of God says. You see, worship is much more intimate than our world thinks. It's not just getting emotional. It's not just, you know, saying stuff out loud. It's more than that. It requires you to get your eyes off of the things of the world and on to the things related to God. Amen. That's my focus. I can't focus on all the confusion in the world. I don't want to tax my mind in trying to understand what they do and how they do it and where and when and how and who is getting more perverse than the other. Man, they're all messed up. This world, I don't want to study the messed up world. I want to study the genuine thing, Jesus Christ. I want to study Jesus, and Him will I serve. Amen. Some of us have come in. Some people, and I'm being realistic now, some of us, even here now in this sanctuary, under the sound of my voice, are burdened. They're burdened down with frustrations, troubles. I'm telling you, lift up your eyes on Him that is above. Focus your life on Jesus. Be faithful to Him and serve Him no matter what, no matter where, no matter what thing is going on in your life. Don't focus on the worldly thing. Focus on Jesus, the Christ. I don't want to be found like the Pharisees. Yeah, they may have been knowledgeable and learned and religious. You know, truly, I don't even like the word religious. It's so far from where I want to be. I don't want to be religious. I want to have a commitment to Jesus. I want to have a relationship with God. My forehead's springing a leak again. Praise the Lord. I don't want to be like the religious. I don't want to be like the Pharisees. Jesus, He looked over Jerusalem, God's chosen place, the place where God chose to center His people. God had a special place for the children of Israel. And Jerusalem was special to them. And Jesus looked on that city and He wept. He cried. Because they didn't even know who He was. He came to them and they did not receive Him. He tried to tell them who He was and they would not hear. Amen. They knew the Word of God. They knew the Old Testament. They were a very religious people. And there were some that were very strict in their beliefs. being strict in religious belief will not save you. You got to have a relationship with God and obey the word. Amen. Amen. This is a longer reading, but let me read this. Luke chapter 7, beginning to read at verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he said unto the Pharisee, he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. He was going to go eat with the Pharisee. He was doing it. Verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. You know, tells that right up at front in this story. This woman came to the Pharisee's house when Jesus was there, and she was a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Perhaps, I believe anyway, that it was her most precious possession. Maybe the most valuable thing that she owned. And she brought it with her to that place. See, sometimes we got to go looking for Jesus. We got to go looking for where God is going to be. Amen. Verse 38, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Wow. Verse 38 is full of stuff right there. 39, now when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, they witnessed what was going on, he spake within himself, saying, he didn't say it out loud, by the way. He's thinking it in his own mind. He's thinking it but not saying it. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. For she is a sinner. I guarantee you, Jesus knew what was going on. It was the Pharisee, the religious guy, that didn't understand. Amen. Verse number 40, and Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet, my head with oil. Thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, see, Jesus knew all along, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. They went on to think bad. Well, who is this forgiven? Jesus can forgive sins. Jesus does forgive sins. Amen. You see, this worship will accomplish things that nothing else will accomplish. You want to really get a hold of God? Worship the Lord. You want an answer to a problem? Worship God. You want to get out of a difficult situation? Worship God. Worship makes it happen. I'm concerned that, yes, here and in other places, other things that I've seen, sometimes church services are geared so much toward pleasing the people, but we should be centered on pleasing God. Everything we do should be centered on God. Yeah, we want to make things look nice. Yeah, we want to do things in an orderly fashion. Yeah, we want to be good at what we do. But let's not get so professional that we forget about Jesus. Let's not stick to a program that we forget about God. God can interrupt at any point. Anytime God wants, He can move on this place. Amen. Praise the Lord. I got to jump down. Ladies, let me make this point. This woman, I don't even know when it happened. And I got to close in just a few more minutes. But this woman, who had much problems, a lot of sin in her life. She didn't do things right. She was a sinner. Everybody knew this woman was a sinner. The Pharisees knew she was a sinner. Jesus knew she was. She knew she was a sinner. She came broken. She came bowing, kneeling. She came up behind him and started to wash his feet. Tears coming so dramatically, so often, so much. Can you imagine? They didn't wash Jesus' feet when he came that into their house, and that was the custom during the day, and they didn't keep the custom. He had dirty feet from walking with sandals down that dusty road. Who knows whatever else kind of stuff got on there. But when she started dripping those tears on his feet, I imagine it made little clean streaks as the tear. So, oh, I'm sorry. She tried to wipe that off, wipe the tear off her feet. Oh, there's a clean spot. She ended up with her tears washing his feet. This whole... My wife did a masterful teaching on, she has been teaching on holiness and in an excellent fashion. If you haven't, you can get it on the recording on Wednesday nights, Sister Greeley's teaching on holiness. But women have a special place with God. Your hair is given to her, to you, for glory. God has given it to you for a covering, that it would set you apart for Him. She used in her worship to God the glory that God gave her to wash His feet, to humble herself and pray. What happens when we humble ourselves and pray and seek His face? He's going to heal. Well, she got her sins forgiven, my friend. She ended up changed from that encounter. Amen. Today, how will I be found? I had 8 pages of notes and I only got to page 4. But you know what? It's time to stand. It's time for you to consider, how will I, pointing your own finger right at the center of your own self, how will I be found? Amen. It's your job to get right with God. It's my job to preach the truth. The truth is, Jesus is coming again. And every one of us needs to be ready when He comes. Jesus could come before you walk out this building. He could. Or maybe He'll come a little later. But He is coming. And even if, you know, all of us are not guaranteed to live forever. In fact, none of us are going to live in this flesh forever. We're going to live in a glorified body. Amen. But when the end comes, whether if you die in the flesh or whether if Jesus comes again, there is an end to this period of time called the church. Amen. When that end comes, wherever it is, and for different people, that's at different places. When that end comes, the filthy will be filthy still. The unjust will be unjust still. And the righteous will be righteous still. The holy will be holy still. I'm talking about forever, my friend. I'm talking about for eternity. What you come when you come to the end, that is how you'll be found. Why don't we be found worshiping and right with God? I'm so glad that we have today. You can make it right with God right now. If you've never repented of your sins, I command you in the name of Jesus, you need to repent. You need, if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus, I plugged in that water yesterday afternoon. I'm sure it's warm. It's time to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ if you have not been baptized. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost today. You don't have to wait for 2 weeks for revival. You can have the Holy Ghost right now. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to live for God. Come on and join me.